break the huddle. Third down and 10. Ball at the Cleveland 33. 13:05 to play in the ball game. Ravens lead by a point, 7-6. Ravens show blitz. Here it comes up the middle. Whedon under pressure, running to his right. He's going to be sacked back at the 23-yard line. Darryl Smith drops Whedon. A fifth sack for the Ravens this afternoon.
Back here at the Green Turtle in Hunt Valley, Brett Q and the Hall of Famer Jonathan Ogden here on WBAL and WBAL.com. All right, guys. Ravens, first half offensively, they were not productive. They did drop two touchdown passes. I think that's fair to say. So
yep.
Wasn't as bad probably as they looked. They also missed two field goals. Second half, not a whole lot of yards, but they come out and they start running the football. They don't run it for a whole lot of yards per carry, but they are committed to the run. All of a sudden, the Ravens start knocking down on third downs. Joe Flacco has a ton of time on third downs. Joe finishes, by the way, 22 of 33, 211 yards. He's only sacked twice. Quarterback rating over 94. He did not turn the ball over. It all adds up in the end to a Ravens win. But, J.O., we've talked about this for a long time. What does that – does running the ball and establishing a run not only put in check the defense to a certain degree, but almost seem like it helped the pass blocking on third downs?
Well, I mean – what it does is it just gives the defense a bit of hesitation. If they know, if you just get into that rut where you're throwing it, you know, 50 times and running it 10 times, they don't even respect the threat of the run. The defensive linemen pin their ears back. They're coming off the ball, which is making them committed to pass rushing the passer. Then the linebackers, you know, if they're in zone, they're dropping right to their zone. There's no hesitation there. If they've got a man coverage in the tight end or the back, there's no hesitation about looking at the running back as far as the running play. They're looking right to their man. You know, it just gives you a little bit more time. You know, a step is huge in this league. One step. And if you can get that one step because they're a little bit, they're guessing if you're going to be running or passing the ball, it just brings a whole lot. It just opens up your whole playbook more. People kind of, it's funny how they think that if you, the more you throw it, the more you can open up your playbook. It actually condenses it because they can play the coverages. They can anticipate the coverages that are necessary to shut it down easier. Whereas, because the same coverages and fronts that stop the pass aren't as adept at stopping the run and vice versa. So you got to make them get into some of those run-stopping fronts from time to time.
And there's almost nothing worse, Q, than a sack or an incomplete pass on first down. So there's just nothing worse as far as stalling out your drive than those two. One of those two things.
There's the one thing that's called being on schedule. And being on schedule means good, strong production on first down. You get good, strong production on first down, you're on schedule. You're putting yourself in your offense in a strong position to succeed. The percentages favor you when you can go first down and now you got second and three, or you go first down and now you got, you know, second and medium meaning 6 to 5, because that, you know, second down production, if you even get 3-4 yards, now you're in third and short, and so the playbook opens up. And it's a lot easier to convert rather than having that first down being first and 12 because you lost 2 yards, or first down, you got a false start, now you're first and 15. You put yourself in second and long because you really didn't, you know, fire off the ball well enough, or, yes, you had that incompletion. You know, so much of a team's, you know, positive psyche happens on that first down production. As a matter of fact, I mean, for Cleveland, they should be kicking themselves, because there was a couple of times where they were on schedule on first down because of Trent Richardson runs yesterday. I mean, there was a lot of second and threes, third and shorts. But the problem was they weren't able to convert it. And that's where, you know, drop passes came into play for them. So, yeah, you look at the overall play of a team and you can predict how good a team is based upon their first down production, as well as their big plays that Jonathan is talking about, when you can run the ball and that hesitation of that guy, and now all of a sudden that guy is like, oh, snap, the tight end is running down the seam and he's about to go ahead and catch a touchdown pass because I'm going up there and trying to stop the run.
Also, for the Ravens defensively yesterday, exactly how we all kind of thought it would play out, at least for one game, between Dumervil and Suggs, the Browns had really no answer. The Ravens get 5 sacks. 5 different players get in the sack column. A whole lot more pressures on the quarterback than that. I get it. It's not a great wide receiving core of the Browns. They do not have great quarterback play. But Joe Thomas, who is an outstanding left tackle, I thought he got abused pretty much by Terrell Suggs.
What I saw, he didn't have a great game, but he was not their worst player on that offensive line. It seemed like there were a couple times where people are running through on that right side. And, you know, as a left tackle, when the right side, you know, gives up a little bit and that forces that quarterback to scramble out to the left, and then you kind of just are blocking your guy and all of a sudden the quarterback runs into it, you feel kind of terrible. But you know what? I mean, they got to get better as an offensive line, though. I mean, Joe Thomas is still their best offensive line, but even he did struggle. I mean, you got to give the guys credit for coming back after that debacle week one, you know, and it wasn't a perfect game defensively by any means. They gave up a few big plays, but they kept them out the end zone. That's so huge in this league. You know, give up yards, bend but don't break. Don't let them in that end zone and get seven, and they did that well too yesterday.
And I think this defense is going to get better and better. One guy who we really didn't see yesterday much, Q, was Michael Huff. We saw a lot of the rookie, Matt Elam, but is it possible after 1 week someone could lose his job that quickly?
Yep.
It's possible.
Yep, possible.
If you're a veteran, the stature of a Michael Huff, and, you know, Michael, we know your game. We know your strengths. We know your weaknesses. And hopefully you can overcome your weaknesses and really play well. So that first week, all of a sudden you get exposed. Hey, don't we got a first-round draft choice? Yeah. What position? He plays Michael's position, and we already know what Michael can do, but we don't really know what our young guy can do. Let's put him in there, and he can make the same mistakes that veteran is going to be making, but at least he's going to improve upon it. And that's something where I look at, you know, why Matt Elam's out there, and Matt's only going to get better.
J.O., did you have a chance yesterday to focus on the second-year player, Gino Gretkowski, at all at center?
I didn't get a chance to really focus in on him. However, I did see one play where he got absolutely run over by, I think it was Phil Taylor.
He's a good ball player.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, boy, he got – oh,
okay.
Boy.
He'd yes,
been,
he
he'd
did.
He'd have heard about it in meetings today if yes, I was there. Like, oh, boy. But, I mean, he's done okay as far as I've seen. I can't give him a complete assessment because I haven't watched every single play that he's done. But – he seems to be getting the guys in the right position. He seems to be doing a good enough job and helping out. But he's going to have to improve, just like the whole offense has got to improve in trying to find his strength as a player, the offensive strength as a unit, and just kind of continue to grow with this offense right now.
There are a lot of big nose guards in this league when you play these 3-4s, and Taylor's one of them, and the Ravens will see a whole bunch more throughout the rest of the way. Gino Gronkowski is small for an NFL offensive lineman. It's just the reality. What are you supposed to do if you're Gino and you are giving up anywhere between 40, 50, 60 pounds on some of these guys?
Got to stay low, man. Got to stay low and stay aggressive and feisty, man. I mean, Mike Flynn was not the biggest guy, not the strongest guy in the world, but he was feisty, man. He would just try to just go after those guys and never quit, man. I mean, and that's – he's going to have to learn how to play like Marshall Yanda. Marshall Yanda is the same way, just always just chomping at the bit, just trying to – Never giving up. Always just being a thorn in those guys' sides. And that's what he's going to have to play. Gino is.
Yeah.
I you know what? It's kind of funny because I look at it as low man wins. And if I get an advantage and you lose your technique, you know, I'm making you pay. And I might, you know, I might not necessarily talk smack, but I'm going to give you a little extra stare like, yeah, it's going to be a long day, son. Don't act like you're going to just bull rush me. That's what I would do if I was in that position of knowing that, okay, it's a leverage game. He has greater size than I do. But if I can maintain my leverage, I got to get into his mind. I got to play a mind game with him, you know, so I know that he's not going to just think that he has all day and he's going to just try to physically out-muscle me.
Well, J.O.'s Old Bay wings smell absolutely terrific. We'll let him get to work on those during this commercial break, and then we'll come back and say goodbye to J.O. But we'll continue here from the Green Turtle Hunt Valley on WBAL.